This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now comes the second story, which is ayah number 32. Just a couple more comments before I go to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses every possible technique that you can use, we analyze them as techniques, to convince people to come to the truth. Okay. Sometimes Allah gives you warning, the stick. Sometimes He gives you bashara, invites you, the carrot, right? As we say, carrot and the stick. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you. Sometimes He gives you rational reasons. And then sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you stories, because we love to hear stories, right? Every possible way to try and convince people to come to the truth. Now, what about people who are in that state of dhulm? The fact that Allah follows that ayah with the bashara is also an ishara that it's not too late. There is no sin that is too big for the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His generosity to forgive. No sin, including shirk, as long as a person repents on time and truly turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never feel that I am, because Iblis will sometimes make people say, you are a lost case. You have committed sins that nobody in the world has committed. You have so many, there is no hope for you. Forget it, enjoy life. So just remember that you can, as the hadith says, you can fill the space between the earth and the heavens with sins and come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah, and He will meet you with forgiveness greater than that. So there is nothing that a person, no matter what they have done, that Allah does not forgive, provided they meet the conditions of a true tawbah. So Allah is always kareem. Never let hopelessness or a fear paralyze us. We should always think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yes, husn billah, that He will always forgive us. And when these ayats of fear come and ayats of hope come, normal people like us, we get afraid when there are ayats of fear, right? We are afraid. And when there is ayats of bashara, of good news, we get excited. But the people who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they hear, when Allah inspires them with ayat of hope, they become fearful. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires them with ayats of fear, they have hope. Now, how is that? Now, look at the case of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He's been given all the bashara of goodness from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is he saying? That if one of my legs is in Jannah and one is outside, I am afraid that I'll be left out of Jannah. Similarly, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who said something to the effect, he said, if on the day of judgment it is announced that everyone can enter Jannah except one person, I'll be afraid that one person is going to be me. So that's the fear. And on the other hand, he also said, and on the day of judgment, if the announcement is made that everyone will go into Jahannam except one, I'll be hopeful that I'm that one. So this is how they thought of this. So they have hope in the fear, because if Allah puts fear, that means Allah loves you. Because who Allah loves, He puts fear in them. So that's hopefulness, that Allah is making me afraid of Him and of Jahannam and the consequences. That means Allah loves me enough to do that. Therefore, I have hope. So, with those comments, we go to the next ayah, which is ayah number 32, the new story, which is the story of the man with the two gardens. which is a trial, as we said, trial of Iman, where we had these young people, solid Iman, tawakkul, all the good qualities. Now we are going to see all the bad qualities combined in one man. Okay. Trial of wealth, of human resources, and the worldly parameters of success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, put forth in front of them, for them, a myth, the story, a parable, or a true story about Rajulain, about two men. Ja'alna li ahdihima, that we, Allah says, we gave one of them jannatain, two gardens. Min, two gardens of anab, of two massive grapevines, you know, gardens of grapevines. One here and one here. And you know, grapevines are somewhat fragile, they need protection. And then what does he say? Wa hafafnahuma, and we surrounded them بِنَخْلٍ, with date palms, giving dates. And those are solid trees. So now imagine these two massive gardens, and the boundary wall is made of date palms. And those are, you know, two types of fruits which are valuable, and you know, one is delicate, one is the other, which was the staple food, which were very, very expensive at the time, both of those. And that's not it. وَحَفَفْنَا بِالنَّخْلُ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرَى. And between these gardens of the, on the inside of the, there was other cultivation. زَرَى. Whether it was wheat is not mentioned. It's all kind of staple food. It could be rice. It could be all kinds of other things. So it was not just grapes and this. Those are mentioned, and in between was this. Now, so it's telling us the massive garden, beautifully arranged. Now, the beauty of the garden is only if it produces. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala next announces, Kiltal jannatayni atat ukulaha, that all the time, every year, all the gardens produced maximum consumable, eatable food. وَلَمْ تَذْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, and they never, it wasn't like we had a bad year crop, or pests came and destroyed. Every year these gardens produced everything perfect. There was never a time the garden didn't do any dhulm. Produced maximum for the owner. Now imagine. So now this guy is in a state of perfection. Every year maximum, first the quality and the quantity and, you know, whatever he can. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا, and then we made inside these gardens, you know, streams and sources of water bubbling out. So in other words, because your garden, you have to worry who's going to irrigate it. Will the rain come? Will it not come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made arrangement for that also. Imagine the scene of this, in which rivers are also flowing. So it's taking care of itself in the garden. Okay, so you don't even have to worry about irrigating where the water is going to come. So all of this state is there. Now, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ, and for him, there were other resources. Thamar here, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, meant gold and silver and properties and all other forms of wealth. So it wasn't just the gardens. He was given all other forms of wealth. وَكَانَ لَهُ, for him, there was thamar, all kinds of, thamar is all kinds of valuables, especially gold and silver and those wealthy things. Now, this man has got this, and if you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا, we made, we did this. Three times Allah said, we gave him this, we gave him this, we made the water come out. Now, what does this man say, who's got all of this, and he's got the wealth? First thing he says, Ana, I. Aktharu minka. No, before that, فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ And he was with his, a companion of his, a friend of his. وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ And they were in a conversation. They were having a conversation, two friends, if you will. So he says to him, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا Now look at this arrow. He says, I am greater in wealth and in nafara. Nafara means human resources, especially in that group, male sons, because that was the ultimate prize to have, you know, means manpower. My sons, my servants, all the people, the entourage that serves me. So he tells this man, Ana, he starts with me, Akthar Minka, I have more. Now, what is that an indication of? Arrogance, kibr, takabbur. What is the definition of kibr? Barai.
Anayat.
What is he saying? He is interacting with somebody. And he is saying, you are less than me. That is kibr. And the second kibr is, when the haq, the truth is presented to you, you say, I don't accept. That's kibr. So kibr is an externalization of what is inside. It requires externalization. That I present to you the Quran, you say, I don't accept this. That is kibr. Or to feel that I am better than you, I am better than you, for whatever, whether it's for wealth, it can be for intelligence, it can be for knowledge, and even in deen, it can be because I have better amal than you. Okay. All of that is kibr, but that kibr is a produce of an internal state which is called ujb. Ujb means vanity, it means narcissism, like you hear examples of the former president just talking about himself. Inside he feels, so he is in a state of delusion that I am better. I am somebody, just in common sense, I feel I am someone very special. Inside I feel that. And therefore I express it with kibr. Okay. Kibr is one of the greatest sins, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a hadith that a person who has a dharra, an atom's worth of kibr, the Jannah is haram for this person. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another narration that kibriyai, this greatness, is my shawl or robe or whatever, and anyone who tries to snatch it, I will put him in the hellfire. In other words, you should not. So what is the opposite of kibr?
Softness.
Urdu people humbleness. Should know. Humbleness, yes. In what? Ajizi. In Arabic, it's called tawadu.
Tawadu.
Okay. So, one crime of this person is he completely discounted that all of that was from Allah. First, he takes it on himself. Okay. Number two, he has kibr. Now, so that first thing of denying that all of this is from Allah is also called kufr. It's called kufr and na'mah, denying the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. There are two kinds of kufr as in the Quran. One is kufr of iman, the opposite of which iman and kufr. The other is kufr and shukr. Opposite of nashukri is called kufr. وَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ لَشَدِيدٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the first one that we hear is he took it on himself. He denied that Allah had given him all of this. Second, he showed kibr against his companion. Now, then what happens as they're walking along? Now, imagine this one man who somebody has literally insulted him and said, you know, but he doesn't say anything. They come to the garden. He has not responded. On a personal insult, he did not respond. Now, وَدَّخَلَ, you're talking about the man with the garden, وَدَّخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ, he entered his garden, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, and in that state of arrogance, Allah says, who was he doing dhulm on? Not against Allah, not against, he was doing dhulm on himself, because the consequences of that, he is going to suffer. And then in that state that he was in, قَالَ مَا أَذُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't think, I am certain, I don't imagine that this will ever end. تَبِيدَ. تَبِيدَ means become extinct. So in other words, he thinks that this, all that he has, is forever. Because year after year after year, it produces 100%, 100%. 110%, and the water is there, everything is, and the wealth and the power. So he's got another delusion that not only do I have it, it's from me, I'm so special, but it will last forever. Okay. Then he says, now he goes one step further. Now another sin comes. He says, وَمَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And I don't imagine, I don't think, I can't think that the sa'a, which is the qiyamah, will ever be established. So now his iman goes into kufr, because now he is denying the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the truth of the qiyamah. And then he goes to another delusion. He says, وَلَا إِرُّدِدْتُ. And suppose, and I don't believe this is ever going to happen, but suppose if I am returned ila rabbi, to my Lord, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Then I am so special that I will be given even better than this in return. Now this is his arrogance. This is another delusion, thinking that because he's been given all of this in the dunya, that is a sign of Allah's pleasure with me, or that Allah loves me so much. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that Allah gives dunya to the kafir and to the believer. But Allah gives deen only to those He loves. So these are, now we've got all of these diseases of kibr, of ujb, of lack of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to then go on to think delusion that this life is eternal, his wealth is eternal, and then go to doubting that there is a day of judgment. And then another one, that even if there is, you know, I'm all set. So he's in complete delusion. So we talked about the opposite of kibr is tawadu. Now this internal delusion of ajb, the opposite of that is called shuhudu mannan, or shuhudu minna. Means to witness that every blessing is given by someone else, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than attributing it ourselves, you know, that I am the special. Okay. And then there is Bada Yabidu, which is the word that was used, that it will never end. The three letters in Arabic, the same letters, if you flip them around, it becomes Abada, which is eternal. One is becoming extinct, and if you switch it around again, it becomes Adab. Okay. Same three alphabets arranged differently. Adab, Abada, Bada. So, in general, some have said that adab is the beginning of anything special. Adab is the beginning of anything special, especially the journey to Allah. Adab with Allah, with His Rasul, with His book, with His deen, and with His creation. And it should always remain with you, abadan. Okay. About this denial of this level of dhulm, of denying the day of judgment. And there is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which is a hadith of Qudsi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the translation of which is, that the son of Adam has lied against me and he has no right to do so. And he has insulted me and he has no right to do so. Then he says, as for his lying against me, it is his saying that I cannot recreate him as I did before. Means somebody who says there is no resurrection, no akhirah, that he is lying against me. And as for his insulting me, it is what came in the beginning of this surah. It is by saying that I have a son and I am glorified above taking a wife and a son. So what we are seeing is that one sin follows another. This man has one, two, three, four, some of the worst character traits of kufran and ni'mah, of kibr, denial of kufr in iman, all of those coming to each other. And it is said that a sin, a person who commits a sin that follows another sin, is actually a punishment of the previous sin. And the punishment of this would be another sin that will come. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets this downhill cycle go. And similarly, the opposite, a good deed. If you do a good deed that follows a good deed, that good deed is Allah's reward to you for your previous, and making you, giving you tawfiq to do another good deed, and so on and so forth. So if we are doing a series of good deeds, again, don't feel proud. Say, Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's only by Allah's power. So there is a fallacy of understanding of some of the wealthy people, delusion, that the fact that I have is because I'm special with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned previously. We've covered that also in Surah Al-Fajr and elsewhere in the Quran. And therefore, we should be careful of that Allah gives the dunya to whoever He wants.